gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Do what I do. Replace your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. 15-day free pile plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Steph.
15-day free pile?
Seven. Huh?
15-day free pile?
What did I say?
You said pile.
Trial. Trial. Maybe don't send that one to Carbonite.
Okay, I won't.
Wow, do I feel like crap fest coming on? I'm a little sleepy.
You're a little hungover?
No.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Both. I made the mistake of taking two Advil PM and on top of the normal box of wine. I've kind of been I've had insomnia. I'm kind of a premenopausal bag of stress lately.
Does menopause cause stress?
And look at Rebecca over there. She has JBF hair. We are just a... What have you and Mr. Taylor been doing?
JBF? What's JBF mean? Is that like
Nothing.
A Jersey Shore thing?
I don't know. I saw you and Mr. Taylor out there, and I know you always spend every weekend having sex all weekend.
Yes, every waking second that I'm not working for you, mm-hmm. I'm having sex.
With Mr. Taylor.
With Mr. Taylor.
Which means it's about 10 seconds of the day that you're not working for Stephanie.
But I must say, today is our one-year wedding anniversary.
Is it really?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. So neither one of us have cheated that we know of.
That you know of.
Right. So far, so good.
That's your story. You're going to stick with it? Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. And you?
What?
What did you have yesterday?
I had three mango margaritas at Pink Taco.
Yeah, we've just been here slumped over our desk.
Yeah.
And he's like, maybe it was the mango margaritas.
They were delicious, though.
Yeah, I sense a real crap fest coming on this morning. We are all a little bit of a mess. Good luck to us. I had a weekend. I'll talk about that in a moment. The Rude Pundit coming up. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World. Christina Wilkie of In the Know Gossip. She's a gossip columnist for The Hill.
Yes.
To talk about the hilarious Stephen Colbert.
People are divided about that.
I know. And Edie McClurg.
Yeah.
Mondays with McClurg. So, listen, somehow we will be pulled along in our little crap fest.
Edie was hilarious on Real Time.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw they did it. They did a little skit.
Yes, they did.
But she called in Friday and told us about it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been a big weekend for everybody. Oh, dear God. All right. Could you comb your hair? It's so distracting.
What?
It's so distracting for those of us that have loser lives. Look at you.
It's windswept, okay? I drive a long ways.
On your motorcycle?
No.
What, did you come here in a sidecar?
Yeah.
I drove a long way. What, you don't have windows? For the handsome salary I pay you, I can't believe you don't.
Oh, yes, about that.
You come in a limo, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, yeah, I'm, am I sleepy. I'm sleepy tired. I had a weekend. I did the Ed Show on Friday. That's up on StephanieMiller.com.
That's right.
And then, what you call it? Oh, darling, I went to a book party for Arianna Huffington. We're going to have on, hopefully, to promote her new book. She was fabulous. I got to hear her speak. What?
No, that woman pumps out books faster than, Mormons pump out babies.
She's the greatest thing that's ever been invented. Love her. Darling, come to my, are you coming to my book party? Then so how can you say no? Nobody says no to Arianna. I was like, of course I have a darling. She's coming to my birthday party this weekend.
Okay, great.
By the way, Rebecca, here's the problem. This party is now getting out of hand.
Why?
Because my friend this weekend said, you keep inviting more people.
Yeah.
Because I went to a bunch of things this weekend and invited a bunch more people.
You invited Chink from the
now,
Young Turks.
Yes.
And he's coming.
Yes, he said no pressure. I hear it's going to be the party of the year,
great.
Which now I'm pressure. It's going to look like a scene from Porky's or like the party in Risky Business at this point. Someone's going to take the glass egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm concerned. I've invited, because I get drunk and go places, then I invite more people, and now this is becoming really
Bill Maher might come?
Yes.
And as long as you get topless, it's worth it for all of us.
No, it's not really worth it.
She's a little flat.
Yeah, she's
just
flat.
Imagine the amount of apologies you're going to be sending out the morning after that. I mean, you have your normal thing you have to do.
Yeah,
I haven't even given you the list this weekend.
Oh, great.
I don't even know what I did. I lost my BlackBerry at Arianna's book party.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
I had to, yes, I got it again, though.
Okay.
It was in the planter.
The planter?
Yes. Oh, I was at Rick Jacobs' house from Courage Campaign, whom I love, and I dropped my BlackBerry in his planter. And I had to go get it the next morning.
What?
You know when you have to retrieve items the next morning, you know, your underwear, your keys, something that you have probably had too much to
drink. Did you go over there in your house coat and curlers?
Well, it was last minute. I was like, darling, you're coming to my book party. I showed you got the invite. I'm like, what? No, I didn't get the... Okay, when? Where? It is now, darling, now! And so I had to go. So... All right. I got them, thank God.
Oh, I know.
Because you know me, I'm technologically impaired. And my friend is like, well, you have everything backed up, don't you? I was like...
You have carbonite, Stephanie.
No, but not from my BlackBerry. Oh. I didn't back everything. There's just things in there that I don't have anywhere else. And of course, it's not backed up.
Speaking of which, have you got...
Can I back up my BlackBerry? Call Carbonite now.
There's an app for BlackBerry.
Oh, you know what? I'm doing that today. I'm calling Carbonite. You know what? You guys finish. I'm gonna call Carbonite right now. Please hold. All right.
Have you got your iPad up and running yet?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I do. Oh, it's like crack.
Do you like it?
I love it.
I'm thinking about getting
it. You know what it is? It's like that. I'm gonna make another Tom Cruise reference too in one segment. What's that movie where he moves everything with his hands?
Minority Report.
Oh yes. You can just, like, do this, and it's magical.
You can do that with an iPhone, too.
Well, I don't have one of those. I have a BlackBerry that I've rescued from a planter.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, so what was I saying? Oh, that was only the beginning. So that was just Friday. So then Saturday, I spoke at an event for Senator Barbara Boxer, mm-hmm. who, by the way, has pulled out the breaking news, has pulled ahead
yes.
in the California race by 9 points. Go, B-Box. B-Box, as you know, number one rocks. Number two... was not there Saturday because she had food poisoning. So I was actually filling in for her.
Oh.
Listen, if you had to spend that much time with Carly Fiorina, you'd throw up too. What?
Yes.
Yes. No, she and her husband both got food poisoning. So I had to imagine me showing up instead of Barbara Boxer and how the disappointment on people's faces.
So yesterday.
Oh, my speech was so yesterday. She was on the cell phone.
She oh, was, Boxer
they
was?
They put her up to the microphone.
Can you do
phone.
That?
She's like, hi.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. But anyway, she's, God bless her. She and Jerry Brown have pulled ahead in
right.
a new... Let me catch it up before I... Jerry Brown has opened a narrow lead over Meg Whitman. Let's see. Oh, he's up 49-44%. Thank God, Californians coming to their senses. Barbara Boxer now tops Fiorina 51% to 43%. Despite, by the way, Meg Whitman has now spent $120 million of her own money. And the good news is the more money, the more like California voters get to know Meg Whitman
yeah.
and Carly Fiorina, the mm-hmm. less they like them.
I just can't get over Meg Whitman's son and how entitled he thinks he is. Remember that story
oh,
we did?
Oh, yes, yes.
Ugh.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Fiorina's unfavorable ratings among unlikely voters trump her favorable ratings by 5 points, while Whitman's negatives outstrip her positives by 10 points. So keep on spending, Maggie. Get it. Go. Get it. We want to get to know you even better.
She's all gums.
She's very gummy.
She is very gummy.
She is.
Yeah. Very very tiny teeth, but huge gums.
Just imagine that poor Asian underling that saw those gums coming at her right before she was shoved into a... filing cabinet in a boardroom at eBay.
Did I tell you the nightmare that I had about Meg Whitman?
No, no.
Okay.
Were there gums? Were there giant gums? It must be like Moby Dick. That's the last thing. Yes, we're back.
I dreamt that I was stranded. It was snowing, and the only one who could pick me up was Meg Whitman.
Oh, yeah.
And she picked me up in the most beat-up old Toyota Corolla. It was like an 82. Oh, and she was like a crazy cat lady. Like, I was trying to have conversation with her, but it wasn't panning out well.
What? Where is your subconscious?
That is
it's
weird.
Out there.
Yeah.
That is such a plausible dream. Meg Whitman being known for being, you know, just regular folk like that.
Right.
Could I come get you in my beat-up pickup truck? Wow. You know, at least that was entertaining. I have a friend. We all have one of those friends that insists on telling you every dream they have, and they're always really long and really boring and really convoluted, and mm-hmm. it's like listening to a kid tell a joke, and
yeah.
you're just like, uh-huh. And then the cat with three heads coughed up this hairball, and then I thought, and I'm like, oh. God, I just don't care. Is that wrong, not to care about your friend's dreams? I'm just like, oh, yeah, that must mean something. that I don't care about. Okay. I kid. All right. That's all. I'm only halfway through my. And then I spoke at a human rights campaign event on Saturday
night, right.
which was big fun. And also, this is just it's a great weekend. I'm telling you, for people on the side of good, not the gummy people on the side of bad. A human rights campaign, of course, fighting for gay rights. A lot of victories in a landmark ruling. A federal judge in Washington State ordered the Air Force to reinstate a reserve flight nurse who was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
So, and, by the way, that preacher guy, there's a fourth, a fourth boy in the boy problem. He would be the anti-gay.
Yeah.
Preacher guy.
So dressed head to toe in spandex.
Is he stepping down?
No.
No.
He took to the pulpit yesterday and said that he was going to fight all of this. All these allegations are false.
And now a fourth man, boys. That almost makes it a mega scandal, doesn't it, for the mega?
For the mega preacher?
Mega church guy? I think four boys is, you know, three boys, you're, you know.
Yeah, that's a typical Catholic
anyone,
church.
You could almost trip and accidentally have sex with three boys.
Yeah. But the fourth.
Yeah.
That
fourth
tips you
one,
over
now,
the edge.
Now it's deliberate.
Yeah.
I may have been wrong. This may not be a crap fest just by virtue that we're so tired.
All of us
I'm not
are.
Really even sure if we're making sense or we're entertaining.
I don't really even know.
But anyway. thank you to Human Rights Campaign for all the great work they're doing. They're getting out the vote. And we had a great time at the big pate on Saturday night.
And I had one,
I am exhausted now.
And I had one of those no hate duct tape pictures taken over the weekend.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
Yeah, so we'll see how that turns out.
Could they even get it across your big, muscly head? Look, his head is muscular.
Are you
how is it, how do you even get your head muscular?
He's got a lot of muscles. He's a beefy guy.
My head's not.
Don't get all roid ragey on me, like you usually do.
God.
All right, 18. He hates when I say that, and he hates my ass face. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. They only talk to her.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, this is on my list. Dance songs for my party. I just want to see Larry King dancing to this. That's all. That's
I want to
my,
see.
And then my dreams will be complete.
I want to see Ariana dance to this.
Ariana and Larry King dancing to this. Come on. We'll get pictures. We'll put them on the website.
Or even Lily Tomlin. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sleepy. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The Rude Pundit coming right up. Particularly rude, particularly funny this week, his blog postings.
He's taking some Democrats to task.
Well, as he should.
What?
As he should. On the we'll talk to him in just a few minutes. All right, so you were saying before the break that people divided on the Stephen Colbert thing.
Yeah, very divided.
Most things he does that are brilliant, they're a little uncomfortable. Like watching, remember when he was making the jokes right to George Bush's face?
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious, brilliant, and awkward.
What was he doing there, though?
Well,
I understand that on his show he was a migrant farm worker for a day, but does that make him an expert?
No, that's what I'm saying, but you got to admit it's not his fault. I mean, you're going, what are they thinking inviting him? I mean, that's what made everybody look so ridiculous, is that this is what he does, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was...
He was there with the head of the farm workers union,
right.
and he, you know, he should have been there. However, Colbert,
I don't know
that was
whether,
kind of a waste of time,
do you think
I thought.
That they didn't think he was going to show up in character? I think that's what they might be thinking, that he was just going to, you know, because obviously a lot of celebrities go do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean,
don't...
you know, Elmo has testified on Capitol Hill for
right.
crying out loud.
Right.
You know, but...
Speaking of defiling the institution.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people really, in that sense, just saying this is really, you know, making a mockery of our system.
It was kind
of
a waste of time.
Was, yeah.
I thought.
Well, it's great for him. It was hilarious and something, you know, it's like a stunt almost.
And
I don't know whether they really didn't think, oh, he's not going to come as the character. He's actually going to.
And, it brought more attention to the issue of migrant farm workers than otherwise would have been.
Right, which is always the point of having celebrities come testify. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said Stephen Colbert embarrassed himself when he testified before Congress. I wonder if they went over with him in advance or they just thought, oh, he's going to.
They have to. I mean, Zoe Lofgren, I'm sure, talked to him about what he was going to say.
Yeah. Because obviously it was a routine. It was the stuff, you know, it was written in advance and it was hilarious.
My name is Stephen Colbert and I am an American citizen. It is an honor and a privilege to be here today. Congresswoman Lofgren asked me to share my vast experience spending one day as a migrant farm worker. I am happy to use my celebrity to draw attention to this important, complicated issue, and I certainly hope that my star power can bump this hearing all the way up to C-SPAN 1.
And we talked about on Friday when it was happening that you could see John Conyers, patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, briefly tried to... I think he was like, okay, this is really kind of... I mean, he tried to say, I think you should go... Stephen Colbert wouldn't. So the problem is it became Andy Kaufman-esque. It turned into more performance art than it even was intended to be. Because I think John Conyers was like, okay, this is ridiculous. All right, Stephen Colbert.
America's farms are presently far too dependent on immigrant labor to pick our fruits and vegetables. Now, the obvious answer is for all of us to stop eating fruits and vegetables. And if you look at the recent obesity statistics, you'll see that many Americans have already started. Unfortunately, my gastroenterologist, Dr. Eichler, has informed me, in no uncertain terms, that they are a necessary source of roughage. As evidence, I would like to submit a video of my colonoscopy into the congressional record.
It was hilarious, you have to admit. I mean, it really was.
It was weird. It was weird.
That's what I'm saying. Weird and hilarious. Let's go to Shirley in Phoenix here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good
Welcome.
Morning.
Good morning.
It was not weird. It was perfect. It was worth looking at King's face. It was worth it. I watched Colbert working on the field. It was he brought the highlight to what's going on in the immigration. John Conyers didn't want him there, and then he took it back after that one lady was talking about amnesty and all this garbage. What he was saying is Americans really do not want these jobs.
Right.
They did the statistics. It was perfect.
Right.
It brought the highlight to what is going on with it.
Sure.
It embarrassed the Republicans all to hell. And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was, but you know what I'm saying, Shirley? Some people, how do you say that? Like, so I have a friend that won't see, like, what do you call it? What's his name? Borat. Those kind of movies.
Borat.
But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's sort of, in a way, kind of prank humor, and it makes some people uncomfortable. I feel like that sometimes.
I
don't like to watch those hidden camera shows.
The fact is this has been going on since I was a little kid, and that was in the 50s. And when Chavez came to Arizona, I understood everything. And when Colbert brought it to the magnified it, we're talking about it now.
Well,
he was much better than Tickle Me Elmo.
That was the best thing about it, is that he brought attention to the issue more than, you know, otherwise
which
would
have been. Which is what brilliant satire does. But the thing is, what's hilarious about it, Shirley, is that's so beyond most Republicans. You know, I mean, like, and clearly even some, it's a layer of sort of, what do you call it, irony that people are just like, huh?
And Republicans and comedy, as we all know.
Not so much.
Exactly.
No. Demetrius in Chicago.
How's it going, Steph?
Good.
I just wanted to mention that there was a part that everybody, I think, kind of didn't get, and that's with the media not covering most of it, but they mostly just showed Stephen Colbert's introduction speech. They didn't show the whole entire part where he was actually testifying. I mean, there was a point where he looked like he was ready to break down in tears, talking about how he wants to protect the people in society who don't have a voice. And he quoted a passage from the Bible that actually came to the point that he wants to be the brother's keeper. And it was just one of those tear-jerking moments. I have to say that he does say stuff that does kind of seem uncomfortable.
Yeah, I hear you, honey. 29 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you.
just me, or does that stripper look exactly like
Stephanie Miller?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's Monday, everybody.
It's Lee Poppeth, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
You know, since we're talking about you being a brilliant satirist yourself, we're talking about Stephen Colbert. What was your take on it? I mean, some people were very huffy, like it defiled Congress. But as you point out every week, they can hardly defile themselves anymore, can they?
No. You know, of course, it was a stunt. It was a stunt to draw attention to an issue. I mean, when's the last time you heard farm workers talked about in so much detail on the news? You know, and that's exactly the reason for it. It's why Christy Brinkley went and testified on nuclear power, why one of the Backstreet Boys, I think, once went and talked about mountaintop mining.
Yep, absolutely. Sorry, I was trying to get Chris's attention. I wanted my favorite line from the testimony.
This is America. I don't want a tomato picked by a Mexican. I want it picked by an American, then sliced by a Guatemalan and served by a Venezuelan in a spa where a Chilean gives me a Brazilian.
It's just a kind of the kind of humor a little over the heads of most Congress critters, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Although my favorite moment was when Steve King started attacking him, Colbert, and Colbert talked about corn packing.
Yes.
And corn packing is a term for a gay Iowan, which was just to say that right to Steve King's face. That's why he was so one of the reasons I think he was so upset is because Colbert came right back at him.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that was a tough one to call in a battle of wits between Stephen Colbert and Steve King. Who was going to win that one? That's
right.
So let's get to your very rude postings this week, which were hilarious, by the way. And I mentioned you take Democrats to task, which good for you on this one. You write, man, it's been a banner week for Democrats. First, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal fails, and now we get to the end of the week in all kinds of shame. Congressional Democrats bailed on any vote on the Bush tax cuts before the midterm election, a slam dunk of an issue for any idiot to spin into campaign gold. Dems want you to have a tax cut. Republicans want them to have it. Instead, Democrats ran off the playground like fat kids with wedgies, saying Republicans would block anyway. I mean, you're right. What's the point of doing anything then? You know, yes, we know that they're going to block everything.
Right. But part of the point there would have been to, at least on the tax cuts, this is actually one of those tricks that Republicans pulled all the time during the Bush years, which is force a vote on something so that when they vote against it, you have an issue. So force a vote on middle-class tax cuts and get the Republicans on record blocking it.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's your campaign commercial. Republicans voted to block middle-class tax cuts.
And by the way, another great point at the end, you write, so way to go, Democrats. Instead of celebrating the health care reform bill's positive effects and condemning Republicans for wanting to make the rich richer, you're cowering in the corner, hoping the American people don't hurt you too badly and praying Republicans won't say mean things about you. Chris was just saying, I don't know if you saw this new AP poll out tomorrow, making the point that we've been making through this whole health care debate. Americans who think health care reform should have done more outnumber those who think the government should stay out of health care by 2-1. I mean,
right.
When they say people are against it, it's because it's not liberal enough, right?
Well, we need to, you know what we need to do? We need to hire stupid people to get out there and represent our cause. Because if we had idiots out there, if we had a Sarah Palin or a Glenn Beck out there just loud-mouthing lies out there, we'd get all the attention in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we got to be all about truth. That's our Achilles heel.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's holding us back, dragging us down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but this is what we've said over and over again. It is amazing how, you know, in poll after poll after poll, people wanted the public option. People wanted a much more liberal version of the than the health care we got. That's why, if there's a reason they don't like it, that's it.
Yep, and they were too busy working jobs during the town hall meetings last summer.
Right. Right. But anyway, but you know, the point being, though, that you make very well is that I still think what we got is good, and it's a start, and it's something they should be celebrating, not hiding from.
Well, if nothing else, get out there to the colleges and start telling all of them, hey, it's cool. You can be on your parents' health insurance until you're 26. That's what Democrats did, and just get that, get different constituencies excited about the things that are going to directly affect them.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, your other the. I love your stuff on the pledge. Today, the House Republicans, led by the annoying orange boner. Well,
oh, God.
It should be called the Orange Pledge, shouldn't it?
Well, there's actually this, I don't know if any, but if you've seen this huge YouTube sensation, the annoying orange, anyway.
I have not. But let's talk about the pledge. You call about 100 pounds of in a 20-pound pamphlet, 20-page pamphlet, pardon me.
Yeah. It's just such a bunch of regurgitation. I mean, you know, John Stewart took it down so well last week that there's just nothing in there that we haven't heard all the time that we didn't already do. And this really is about the short-term memory loss of Americans. If they actually, could we maybe actually do the Obama plan and see what happens before we start? I saw this ad that one group put out about how America under Obama has crumbled. And I'm thinking, how many things that Obama really wanted as regards to the economy and to health care and education have really gotten passed in the form that Obama wanted?
Yep.
Or gotten passed at all?
I know. Well, you're right. That's what you – I love that posting. You say, could everyone just stop talking about the current crisis in America as being caused by Barack Obama's agenda? Seriously, the right-wing drama queens act as if they've been living under years of oppression and hunger in a Soviet-era dictatorship instead of 19 months under a politically moderate, legally elected president. You're right. You know what, Mike Pence and the rest? We did vote to institute a new governing agenda. Obama's. Senate Republicans have prevented its passage. Maybe you could complain if we were, you know, being governed by it, but it. Why bother to really try Obama's agenda when we can just go back to the one that asked us in the first place?
That was very good button pressing right
Thank
there.
You. Thank you. Yeah.
The short-term memory loss of Americans is just always stunning to me. That the idea that we wanted change, but now we became so scared of the idea of passing change. And this is where I get angry at Democrats, because this is where Democrats have totally failed in making Republicans into the enemy. They're so cowed by the idea of having a negative ad run against them that there's no way that they can't make political hay out of the obstructionism, and they've failed time and again. On every issue, they could have an ad out there saying, hey, we wanted to do this. Republicans stopped us.
Right. Right. I mean, and by the way, I love the one part you point. The pledge says end TARP once and for all. And you read John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and Pete Sessions all voted for it.
Right.
So, you know, they're pledging against something that they voted for.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a different president, you know. If Obama had been president and he wanted TARP, there's no way they would have voted for it.
Yeah.
But Bush wanted it, and therefore it was a good.
Well, and as I've said, Rude, I mean, it's one of the few things, one of the only things I can think of that George Bush did that was right, that has worked.
Yeah. And people forget the actual panic that was going on. I mean, we're sort of in a malaise now of this ongoing thrum of bad news about the economy. But people forget that there was this moment just a couple of years ago when it was like, holy crap, we're really about to go into the dark ages here if nothing's done.
Yep.
And
yep.
that Bush actually decided to do something for the country and solve a crisis, in at least partially.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and good for you, by the way, the history lesson you threw in your posting about the abused John F. Kennedy line that the pledge uses, an economy constrained by high tax rates will never produce enough revenue to balance the budget, just as it will never create jobs. And you point out that, yes, Kennedy proposed a tax cut, which was passed after he was killed. It reduced the highest marginal tax rate from 91% to 70%. And so you say, sure, it was a tax cut, but you can't use a fantasy JFK to think that he'd believe that 35% is an unfair income tax on the wealthiest Americans. And you, as you rightly point out, don't anger zombie JFK. The mother needs brains, which I think is
yes, yes.
A cogent point.
Thank you. And I... I just even wonder what Republicans from back then would even think. Well, we know what at least some recent Republicans think. We know that the Reagan Republicans think that the current Republicans are mostly insane, that there's nothing that they're doing that they could recognize as conservative policies from back in the Reagan era.
Yeah.
And they were jerks back then.
Yeah, I love your stuff on the Tea Party, by the way. Speaking of what's become of the Republican Party, the Tea Party candidates who have a chance to win, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Sharon Angle, and that dude in Alaska who looks like he was just released from prison for dealing meth to middle schoolers, are all bug crazy. And you write, the best they've got is Rand Paul, who made a big deal about how part of the Civil Rights Act of 64 was wrong because it told private business owners what to do. And then 3 months later, he came out against the Muslim Community Center near Ground Zero, which is, you know, telling a private business owner what to do. The only way holding those two positions makes any sense at all is Rand Paul just says, it. I'm a racist.
Yeah.
If he were going to be honest, right?
Yeah, sure. And if he were going, I mean, that just puts a lie to the libertarian positions and how easily that kind of stuff is cast aside for political expediency.
Exactly. Just say it. Say you're anti-melanin of any kind. Just say it.
Yeah, that's it. I'm against civil rights and I'm against Muslims building things. I really just want my bald friends to run the country.
And as you point out, by the way, good news for comedy is bad news for America. A Senate with Paul, Rubio, Engel, and O'Donnell in it, all these mice with human brains with Jim DeMint as majority leader, would look like a slapstick room at a clown convention. It really is true.
Right. Well, at least then it would be hilarious and not just frustrating to see things get stalled in the Senate. You know, it would be Keystone Cops. They'd be riding around in the Senate chamber room with their clubs just thumping Democrats.
Right. They'd all get in the same, come out of the same clown car and take a vote. It would be hilarious. Just there, woo! There they go.
Orrin Hatch getting hit with seltzer and they're going, what did we do?
Oh my God. All right, and real quick before you go, because as we were talking, I mean, you know, wow, gay rights, I mean, it's just the courts and public opinion is so far ahead of, you know, the Congress on this. I love your don't ask, don't tell stuff. You say Susan Collins and her whiny ass voice and her flat koala bear face. But you're right. She makes moral equivalence, you say, between the persecution of gays in the military and Republican senators not being allowed to toss at the bill like that. Like there's some sort of moral equivalence there.
It's like, do you stand on a principle? Do you believe? And she said time and again that she believes that gays should be allowed to serve openly in the military.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here you go. Vote for it. Instead, she stood with party over principle, and you know that's again the kind of thing that says more about her as a politician than it does her as any kind of human rights advocate.
It's exactly the same thing as Republican senators being persecuted by not being able to get their tchotchkes thrown into various bills.
Sure. Oh, wasn't it a banner weekend for gay rights with Ann Coulter talking at the gay conservative gathering and telling them that marriage is not a civil right? It was beautiful.
And she said, you're not black.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy. And by the way, you also write, John McCain and anyone who said let's wait for the Pentagon study, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell provision said outright there would be no implementation until after the magical questionnaire of justice, as you put it, is done being tabulated. And then you make a really good point. Has anyone else's civil rights been the subject to the results of a poll? When have we done that?
Yeah, because isn't this one of those things that the founders put into the Constitution, which was protections of the rights of the minority, that actually the rights of the minority need protection more than the majority and that they shouldn't be subject to the rule of the minority?
And
but what the hell? I'm not Glenn Beck. I only read history.
But as this judge, I mean, specifically said this weekend, that's not a legal basis that some people, like polling, people feel kind of oogie about it.
Yep. What was it? It's Huckabee who said something about that gays make the guys in the military feel icky. It was Seth MacFarlane and Bill Maher made the greatest point, which was that American soldiers fought with British soldiers and French soldiers and other nations' soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
And all of them allow gay soldiers in there, and somehow we didn't go to war with them over it.
Yeah, the only two armies that don't allow gays are the Iraqis and us.
Ironically, yes. Anyway, but you close by saying you either support something in terms of this don't ask, don't tell vote, you either support something or you don't, especially when it comes to fundamental rights. And by the way, filibustering a defense bill used to be akin to treason. Now it's just part and parcel of the political landscape. Good for you. Brilliant stuff this week, young man.
Well, thank you, darling. And by the way, since I won't get to say it, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it's also my blogiversary, same date.
Aww.
Very cool.
Isn't that nice? It's seven. My blog will be 7 years old, and you will be close to that.
A little older. Happy blogiversary. Thanks.
And happy birthday.
Thank you, honey. All right, see you next week. There he goes, the rudeness.
You're about 40 years older than his blog.
Stop. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That is soothing. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America coming up in just a few minutes to co-host Right Wing World. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Barry in New York on Stephen Colbert's appearance before Congress. Hi, Larius. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I thought Colbert was great. Congress is such a joke that he spoke to them the only way that they deserve to be spoken to. obviously, a good, intelligent debate doesn't work with Republicans and conservatives.
Yeah. The Steve King thing alone was worth it.
Another joke.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A human joke. Stephen Colbert.
When you're picking beans, you have to spend all day bending over. It turns out, and I did not know this, most soil is at ground level. If we can put a man on the moon, why can't we make the Earth waist high? Come on, where is the funding?
Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I wanted to say I watched the whole hearing, actually, on Colbert, and I saw a whole lot more than just what he said. Steve King wants to raise farm wages, which all sounds great, except then he would make that unemployed people would have to seek those jobs or lose their unemployment. And that's where the Republicans are going. They want to push those farm jobs into regular employment jobs. And when I saw that, I thought, well, I'm glad I watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. Not many people do. Look, I marinate in this stuff, and I just saw the clips that they were played on other shows.
Yeah.
You know? So, oops, sorry, honey. Steve King, what she's
talking
about.
I think it's an insult to the time and an insult to the intelligence of the American people that Congress has conducted themselves in this fashion. I think one point that he made, that there'll be a lot of Democrats looking for work this fall, that is an accurate point, and I think that was accelerated by their conduct in this hearing today.
Yeah.
He's an ass hat.
He is, and a douche nozzle, in my personal opinion. Wow, he used intelligence of, I mean, including him, an insult to the intelligence of people like Steve King, who I believe wasn't he the guy that once said he suggested using an electrified fence at the border?
Yes,
because that works for his farm animals on his farm.
Yes,
so he was sort of comparing, you know, Mexicans to farm animals. That guy.
Yeah, Steve King just took a little, you know. Political swipe there, you know.
Yeah. All right, Stephen Colbert.
This seems like one of the least powerful people in the United States are migrant workers who come and do our work but don't have any rights as a result. And yet we still invite them to come here and at the same time ask them to leave.
So he actually made some really good
points. Yeah, he broke character there. It sounded like he was talking from the heart there.
Yeah. Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, Ed Colbert.
Does one day working in the field make you an expert witness, do you think?
I believe one day of me studying anything makes me an expert in something.
How many of those individuals were illegal and how many were legal?
I didn't ask them for their papers, though I had a strong urge to.
All right, Ed, this is the Representative John Conyers moment.
I'm asking you to leave the committee room completely and submit your statement instead.
Yeah, and so he said basically, no, I was invited by Zoe Lofgren.
Of California,
and you know, and she said, no, I want him here. So, right. and like you said, I mean, in the end, in the big picture, it did bring more attention, which is exactly why you invite a celebrity in the first place, to sort of say, like, Christie Brinkley or Elmo have more credibility testifying for Congress than Stephen Colbert, you know. It's just that he does it in a different way, and maybe they didn't. That was the one thing we were saying. Maybe they didn't expect he was going to do it in character, and that it was going to be a performance sort of piece like that.
Apparently, he submitted a different statement beforehand than the statement he actually gave, and so that's why I think some people were a little bit upset.
Listen, you saw what he did to George Bush at the the White House correspondence thing. You have to, he's Stephen Colbert, for God's sakes. It'd be like hiring Andy Kaufman when he was around and going, what? Or what's his name? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Borat.
Borat. And then going, or like Bill Maher used to say, when they would someone would say he's being politically incorrect, he's like, yeah, who could have seen that coming? It's the name of the show, for God's sakes. All right. By the way, I hate to contradict the stunning Steve King, but Democrats have released a torrent of polls showing that, may not be quite the wipeout that everybody is predicting for Democrats in the fall. We will talk about all that and do Right Wing World with Eric Bollard of Media Matters next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, lots of fun stuff coming up. Gossip columnist from In the Know coming up to talk about the Stephen Colbert appearance. And, of course, it's Mondays with McClurg.
That's right.
Actress Edie McClurg, who was hilarious in the skit on the Bill Maher show on Friday night. We'll talk to her about that and much more. Meanwhile,
I love kid appearances.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
So good. Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
A couple of great things you posted I wanted to get to before right-wing world. The Forbes magazine, as you write, they published this wingnut interpretation of Obama's un-Americanness that you feel has done deep damage to the magazine's reputation.
Well, yeah. I mean, they ran this piece, and now we find out, thanks to a Times article over the weekend, that they basically started fact-checking the story after they published it, after they started getting this huge blowback. Not only was it incendiary, just sort of hateful, and Obama's not like us, and you know, he's got anti-colonial leanings and all that nonsense. But they made some glaring factual errors, which Media Matters, among others, have pointed out. So it turns out Forbes fact checkers started calling people, you know, regarding the story after it was published to find out if, oh, by the way, did we get this right?
Who flunked journalism school? No, I mean, I love when you guys, like we say, you know, the usual suspects, you know, that's fine. But, you know, when you find this sort of bias and things that are supposed to really be, you know, practicing journalism, I think it's the Lord's work, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, you know, Forbes is supposed to be, you know, one of the, you know, sort of the few remaining national glossy magazines. They're supposed to have fact checkers. They're supposed to do all this stuff that, traditional, you know, fancy glossy magazines used to do. And there seemed to be this rush to put out this really bizarre, you know, it was tangentially related to business at all. It was just this really bizarre fever swamp attack on Obama. And they appeared to have just sort of cleared the decks and not adhered to any traditional journalism standards, like, oh, by the way, fact check the story.
Yep. By the way, you mentioned on Newsbusters this week, which I love because, as you know, the Stephanie Miller Show, a frequent target of the fine journalists at Newsbusters who have sussed out some sort of liberal bias in liberal radio, which...
they are so on to you.
Yeah. I love you. You talk about the goofy media criticism. Their headline was, George Stephanopoulos parrots Democratic talking points on new GOP pledge. They're repealing health care, which, as you say, is kind of an odd beef since Republicans have been very vocal about repealing health care.
I'm telling you, nothing gets by those guys. I mean, that Brent Bozell's team of cracked media analysts over there, I mean, nothing gets by them. So, yes, George Stephanopoulos was clearly guilty of repeating exactly what Republicans are talking about this campaign season.
Yeah. Newsbusters think that he's trying to lead the American people into thinking Republicans want to eliminate all health care for Americans everywhere, which I don't think they probably would like that, but... All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Ed Rollins in the Situation Room.
I've never been able to understand why money I make or rich people make, and I'm not rich. We spend it, and that's not good for the economy. The president says rich people are only going to save it. Well, saving is good for the economy. If you tax it and give it to the government and they spend it on your behalf, why is that better? I've never been able to understand that. And I think at the end of the day here, the Democrats are getting themselves in a very precarious place right before the election.
God.
Wow. That is...
You got to love that caveat. You know, I'm not rich.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah.
I'm a D.C. insider and have been making six figures for several decades, but maybe even seven for his consulting firm. And that's sort of the problem with the media debate about tax cuts. The people who are having it and the people who are hosting it are all, most of them are within that 2% that they're
right.
targeted.
Yeah, I love that he momentarily thought he put himself out of touch with the regular folk that can so relate to getting six figures for consulting.
Yeah.
And
political campaigns.
He also happened to forget, from what I've seen, the overwhelming polling shows that people want those tax cuts eliminated. But again, when 2% are having and hosting the debate, you're only sort of getting one side of
right.
the debate discussion.
We were talking last hour about, you know, just a little history lesson with the Rude Pundit, how, you know, they use this JFK quote in this pledge. Well, you know, the tax rate was 90%. He was talking about a tax cut to 70-something to try to, you know, to try to make it seem like JFK would be against, rich people paying 35% now.
Right. I mean, there was actually an argument to be made 3 or 4 decades ago when you write that the tax rate was actually, you know, by today's standards, was astronomical. Yeah. But, of course, none of it translates to the late. I mean, Clinton did more to lower that tax rate than anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Ben Stein on the Fox News.
There was a dictator in Argentina many years ago named Juan Perón, and he had a system for controlling the company called Peronism, which basically was dictatorial, but... I don't want to say Obama's government is dictatorial, but a strong-arming government along with unions to control the rest of the country. And what we're seeing here is a kind of beginning of Peronism in which the government works with the unions to try to circumvent the law of contract, which is, by the way, circumventing the Constitution, and try to control the country by sheer force of numbers and force of fear. And it's a very, very dangerous situation.
Wow. Peronism. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, and Larry Summers is Che Guevara.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this idea that labor unions in America, which have obviously been declining, in membership for decades, you know, are suddenly on the rise and are taking to the streets in some sort of Central American fantasy over, locking arms with the military and the government. It's Fox News fantasy.
Maybe he meant Peroni's disease. Isn't that, he did work for Dick Nixon, who was a crooked dick. You know what I'm saying?
Stephanie.
He was. He was a criminal. The same. Andrea Tantaros on Hannity.
Don't forget a book about how Barack Obama said we can absorb another 9/11.
That too.
It points to why he doesn't see the problem with having a mosque at Ground Zero. The guy's emotionally detached. He's unfit to serve. He has no experience.
Wow, he's emotionally Andrea Tantaros.
Wow. Oh, right.
The president
right.
is emotionally unfit, and I guess John McCain was emotionally fit with no anger management problems of any kind.
It's not the policy.
This whole absorbitor, I mean, this was one of the more painfully dumb attacks on Obama last week, and this notion that he's essentially saying that, you know, just completely contorting as usual. This notion that he thinks it's okay if we get attacked because it's no big deal. So he's not really planning to defend it, and if it happens, he's just going to sort of shrug his shoulders. It's just really...
I mean, I love them having to be a party, Eric, these days that can say the president has no experience to serve, but Christine O'Donnell apparently has a wealth of experience that qualifies her to be a United States senator.
Yeah, and Sarah Palin has the experience to defend defend America's borders. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. There was a very interesting. Greta had a very peculiar conversation with Rick Santorum on Fox News last week. They were discussing what exactly are the qualifications to be senator, and they were talking about Christine O'Donnell. And basically, they came to the conclusion that there is no qualification. That is now the Republican and sort of Tea Party talking point that anyone can be a senator.
Yeah,
no one has to
have outsiders.
Any sort of resume or background or knowledge or anything.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that on the right and at Fox News, the ceiling, the floor has just fallen out of who can be senator.
Yeah.
And who should be.
Well, you know, they're outsiders, Eric. Which by that it means it's because they've run several times and lost.
Yeah.
At their attempt to be insiders. So
therefore, that makes them qualified.
Yes. Exactly.
They're the perfect candidate.
Exactly. Glenn Beck on the TV.
I can't believe that we elect people of faith, of all faiths, elect people that we know are lying to us, know are not living decent lives. They represent us. They represent us. Well, okay, does that represent us? I think in many cases it does. We must stop that.
Stop what?
Stop electing liars? What?
Stop,
who would
stop,
be left to serve?
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Stop electing representatives?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh on the financial crisis.
What do you think the financial crisis in 2008 was all about? Was getting rid of Republicans, putting Obama in there. So you've got a market. All of a sudden, right before the election, what's happening to the market? It's 400, 500 points. People are talking about a 13,000, 14,000 market by next year. You think this is an accident? You think this crisis necessary TARP bailout was an accident in 2008?
What? So,
there are no coincidences.
So Obama created this crisis before he was elected?
In order to get into office, yeah.
Well, George Bush obviously worked for him already.
Yes, obviously.
And right, and so this is the talking point we've heard elsewhere. Any stock gains between now and November, it's all because of the Republican and their crystal clear economic policy that they've put forward via Fox News and others. So obviously Obama can do no right, and when things do go right, Rush Limbaugh is making sure that he gets no credit for anything.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and sorry to give you a double helping. Glenn Beck on the radio to finish.
Truth does matter. Character does matter. But I think you're about to witness a country burning down to the ground. And I don't mean that literally. I mean, it could be with the left. I don't mean that literally. I mean that figuratively.
What?
Everything that you thought you knew is false. Everything you thought you could trust, everything you thought was solid will be liquid.
Wow!
What? Including his bowels.
Yeah.
Eric, that's a new one. We've been called a lot of things on the left, but now we're arsonists. We're bent on burning America down.
And liquefier.
And, yes. Or making it into liquid hot.
Magma.
It's what we do.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters. See you next week, sir. Thank
you. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, what was the new, the Christine O'Donnell clip that Bill Maher released this week was the evolution thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christine O'Donnell once again. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You kind of expect that from someone like her, though.
You're supposed to be able to see monkeys evolve in front
right.
of you.
If it's not happening overnight, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Exactly. Should be like the sea monkeys thing that you add water and it just overnight. It should.
Didn't you kill sea monkeys when you were a kid?
No, you're thinking of shrimp.
Oh,
I grew
that's
shrimp
right.
for my eighth grade science fair project, and the light bulb went out overnight, and they all died.
Well, sea monkeys are shrimp. They're brine
yes,
shrimp.
They're not
well, they're
really
little, yeah.
monkeys.
So I
not
when they
remotely monkeys.
They're not monkeys.
When the judges came by, I stirred it up so it looked like they were swimming.
Did it fool them?
Not really.
It's reverse evolution. The monkeys turned into brine shrimp.
Like, I have about the same grasp on science that Christine O'Donnell does, clearly. All right. We will talk to Edie McClurg, by the way. Jim, did you see the skit?
Yes.
That she
hilarious.
Did.
Hilarious.
They did a fake, like, old politically incorrect that Edie McClurg played herself in.
And Cato Kaelin had his old hair.
Uh-huh. Ridiculous wig.
That's hilarious. Ay vey. All right. So we were talking about with Eric Bowler about the tax cuts, and it is hilarious. You know, when you look at the historical perspective on tax cuts, mm-hmm. that they use some in this stupid Orange Pledge. They use some JFK quote, Jim, to kind of say
the rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah, like he would be upset at rich people paying 35%, which is what they pay now, when the tax cut he was talking about was from 90% to like 71%.
Under that well-known commie, Dwight David Eisenhower.
Yes.
Dropped it down to 70%.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Jim, speaking of which, that's kind of a little too big of a clue, but it's Monday. And my head is marinated in Advil PM and white wine. Yours is
Red wine and codeine.
Yes, and you, Chris?
Mango margaritas.
Yeah. And we're having a bag of ass show this
morning. Don't mix all three of those.
No.
That would be bad.
No. Red wine and my dog's pain medication, that's also is not.
Pete says no.
That didn't work out either.
Red, white.
Oh, pardon me. All right, Jim?
Yes.
I have a guest book for you. If by liberal, they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reaction, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and their civil liberties, someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad, if that's what they mean by liberal, then I'm proud to say I'm a liberal.
Vaughn Mita. Let me say this about that. I believe the fault lies not with the salad, but with the dressing being used on the salad.
That was a good guess, but no, it was actually John F. Kennedy himself, not...
the real one. Okay.
Yes. Speaking of using John F. Kennedy. All right, who is spinning furiously in his grave at the Republicans, citing him in their Orange Pledge as someone who would be for their tax policies?
JFK took on the oil industry and the steel industry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
President Obama has done
the price for it. Yeah. Well.
Oh, sorry. A snark there.
Yeah.
All right, Nancy Pelosi on the tax cut.
America's middle class will have a tax cut. It will be done in this Congress. There is no question about that.
Yeah, middle class. They're a bunch of commies.
Yeah, but it's going to be done after the elections in the lame duck session. So the Democrats can't actually run on it.
Great.
So I don't
good
understand
plan.
That.
I don't understand that either. We talked about this with Rude Pundit.
I just don't, let's not do anything that'll offend anybody. We want everyone to be nice. Can we all just get along?
No.
Jim, did you see the poll that is what we've been screaming about for a year? A new AP poll finds Americans who think the health care reform law should have done more outnumber those who think the government should stay out of health care by 2-1.
Minor detail they leave out when they're talking about, Americans don't like
Obamacare. They don't like it, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, God. And Bill Maher let them get away with that.
Yeah.
For one thing, what the hell did he have Breitbart on?
I know.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Amy Holmes.
Once, Bill Maher's show was too Republican heavy, and there was enough people to counter Andrew Breitbart's lies, you know?
Amy Holmes is very cute, I'll give her that. No, she's very bright, and she's very nice. She's just wrong and everything.
My God, what is it about you that you're just shoved into the Republican corner by a pretty face?
Yeah, no, he would...
no, I'm not agreeing with
he
her.
He would be, though brilliant, completely ineffectual on Bill Maher's show if he were matched against a pretty right-wing woman.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Amy Holmes,
Jim Ward,
cute.
One of the most brilliant men I know, and he would be like Lenny from Mice and Men if you were on.
Talk about the rabbits, George.
Amy, that's a good point.
That's the problem, is that Andrew Breitbart, I was screaming at the TV.
Why? Me too, yes. Why is he even there? And of course, one of the criteria for having him there probably was that they don't mention the whole
exactly.
video thing
yeah.
with the pimp costume.
No, but he just, you know what, it's like when right-wing callers sometimes call here, you got to hand it, Bill Maher, obviously it's a great show, but it's like a machine gun fire of lies.
Mm-hmm.
That entertainment-wise, it's hard to counter all of them. One Andrew Breitbart sentence had like 14 lies in that I was just like, but that's...
You need to go on that show, Stephanie.
Hello, he lied.
What a good idea.
Yes, you should.
Why, thank you, Jim.
Maybe you need to slut it up with Bill Maher at your party.
Well, we'll see. Arianna Huffington will be on the Bill Maher this coming Friday, and then she'll be at my party dancing with
really?
You
cool.
this weekend as well. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bartender, I know everyone's problems, and everyone's got problems, especially
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Christina Wilkie is the in the know gossip reporter and columnist for The Hill. She joins us now. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming on. Well, you know, obviously, Stephen Colbert's appearance, all the buzz, I imagine, in Washington.
Yeah.
What's the reaction been on balance, would you say?
On balance, it's been mixed. I was surprised to see the two most powerful Democrats in the House contradict each other this weekend.
It's Denny Hoyer, right?
Denny Hoyer on Sunday saying that he was disappointed and, you know, and then he thought that Colbert embarrassed himself, which Colbert didn't really do. I mean, Colbert was pretty funny and he didn't have that much to lose.
No, I think he did exactly what he intended to do. Right.
I do too.
Right.
And, you know, but in Pelosi saying on Friday that she thought it was great that he testified and that everybody, you know, every American should have the chance to testify. And so, yeah, that sort of took me by surprise. I think at the end of the day, I mean, Colbert's appearance got done what it was intended to do, which was to bring quite a bit of attention to this hearing and to this issue.
Well, and we were saying earlier that it is kind of funny that, you know, Elmo and Christy Brinkley testifying and people
right.
like that apparently this defiled the institution.
Right, exactly, and you know, and then we have everyone up in arms over this one today, and you know, and I think it was interesting that he broke character at the end of his testimony to speak, you know, to speak as himself and to really say that he said it was duty two of California who asked him point blank, you know, sir, why are you here? And he answered her, because I speak for the powerless and because these people suffer and they have no rights.
I think that was what people were saying was the big, you know, the difference is he submitted serious testimony. And so I think the problem is they didn't really see this coming, though maybe they should have, that he was going to do the thing in character.
Yes, I think everyone should have seen it coming, but you're right, in the hearing room, no one really seemed to know what to do. We didn't really know where the laughs were supposed to be, and, you know, I mean, it had, just about everyone had never seen this kind of a, had never, I mean, most people weren't around for Elmo's groundbreaking testimony.
But it was like they got sort of pulled into the skit, and then they didn't know what
right.
to do once they were in it. It was, you know, I loved his one line. He's on dealing with the on the bill. He said, like most members of Congress, I haven't read it. But you know, it's what he does. It's like making fun of people right to their face.
Absolutely, and he did. I mean, he did the same thing. He really had a go with Steve King of Iowa, the ranking member on the subcommittee, who kind of thought he could make some jokes about Colbert. And I talked to him the day before, and he didn't even know really what Colbert's shtick was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sort of tried to tell him, I was like, well, Congressman, you know, he's a satirical comedian, and you really should be prepared, you know, for something funny.
And Steve King, by the way, not bringing a lot in the Battle of the Wits in the first place.
Well, that's the thing, and I could get in trouble for saying this, but, I mean, Colbert is such a bright man.
Yes.
And so to see him up, you know, up
Steve
against
King, not so much.
Somebody who
yeah.
just wasn't as quick on the uptake.
Yeah, well, here is Steve King from...
I think it's an insult to the time and an insult to the intelligence of the American people that Congress has conducted themselves in this fashion. I think one point that he made, that there'll be a lot of Democrats looking for work this fall, that is an accurate point, and I think that was accelerated by their conduct in this hearing today.
Or your conduct in this hearing.
And Steve King was the only one who tried to make a joke at Colbert. And
yeah.
He made this sort of
nice
awful
try.
Joke about... Right, about how Colbert was playing, they must have been playing the video camera backward, or it was a flop of a joke.
Yeah.
And Colbert didn't even really get it.
Yeah, it
but,
was,
you know, I mean,
it was sort of like trying to shadow box with Mike Tyson. You know,
exactly.
It's like, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No, and we saw it and we just said, oh, ouch.
out.
Yeah. So what about the so John Conyers, you know, did try to stop this. Talk about that moment.
Sure, he did. Before Colbert had given his opening statement, so at this point we didn't really know what he was going to say. But I think everyone in the very beginning of the hearing was a little bit surprised just by what a ruckus there was. Whether it was, you know, there were 12 video cameras, you know, guys with full cameras on. There were probably 20 still cameras. There were reporters lining every chair, every wall. And it was sort of plastic. And then there were about 100 people standing outside the hearing room, which the cameras never showed. But just the hallways in Rayburn all the way around the hearing room were just packed with people. So I think the members kind of saw that. And Conyers thought, you know, to himself that it would be almost impossible to have a serious hearing with this kind of circus going on.
Right.
And so, so he asked Colbert when he finished his testimony to please leave.
Right. And Colbert refused.
Yes, and Colbert knew somebody had told him, had briefed him, that he was there at the invitation of Zill Lofgren, who is the subcommittee chairwoman, and he said that he's there at her invitation, and if she asked him to leave, he would, but she didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was the feeling in the room? Because we were saying, you know, sometimes, you know, there's that uncomfortable, like when you're watching a Borat film or something.
Completely.
Yeah.
That's a great way of putting it. You know, people didn't really know where to laugh because we're so used to, you know, the people who are in hearings a lot. A lot of what doesn't get into the record are members of Congress kind of making jokes with each other, with the witnesses. But it's definitely a member-driven, you know, he who sits on the upper day kind of gets to like control the energy of the back and forth. And in this case, that was totally turned on its head.
Right. I mean, Christine, it had that feeling of when he was making fun of George Bush to George Bush's face, that thing where it's just hilarious, and yet you're like, oh, God, I'm so uncomfortable watching this.
Oh, God, right. Do any of you know what he's really saying? Like, who's going to step in here? And, you know, and I mean, nobody really wanted to take him on, which I completely understand. And yeah, I mean, it was certainly a mockery of the members and of the sort of congressional process in the face of members of Congress.
Right. Well, let's talk about his. It's going to be interesting to see how the media covers his he and John Stewart's their rallies.
Their rallies, and I just checked Facebook, and between the people who've accepted John Stewart's rally and the people who may be coming, well, that's 250,000 people.
You know, I know it is going to be interesting with all these, like, this storyline, though. The Tea Party's the biggest thing that's ever hit America, and, oh, Glenn Beck had 2 billion people there, according to some Republicans. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they cover a lot more people going to basically a comedy rally, right?
Right. Well, and neither Stewart nor Colbert do that many public appearances, certainly. I mean, they do this, some of them do these, like, upscale dinners, you know, and they'll MC, but to see them in person is fairly rare. So we basically invited every fan of two of America's most popular comedians to march
whereas,
in Washington.
Yeah. Whereas Glenn Beck, for God's sakes, any hour of the day you can hear him on the radio, see him on TV, go to his stupid sweater show. He's on the road. It's like, oh, Glenn Beck, what a rare opportunity.
Exactly. But to see Stewart and Colbert together in person, if you're a big fan, really is a rare opportunity.
Right.
And
For people that don't know, Christine, what is it? Tell us what the Stewart rally is and then what the Colbert rally is and when it is and all that.
The Stewart rally is called the Rally to Restore Sanity, and it is it's basically a place. I mean, Stewart, I think both personally and on his show, became frustrated with this kind of polarized, like, I can shout louder than you can energy that's imbued a lot of this electoral cycle, and he got to feeling that people in the middle didn't have a voice and had no place to sort of to put their kind of like to ratchet down the rhetoric. And I think, and so he decided to do something about it, which is the first time that he's really stepped into a political situation, a race. I mean, he doesn't endorse, he doesn't campaign. So this is sort of a surprise.
When is this? It's this week, right?
It's October 30th. So it's a Saturday.
Oh, sorry. No,
afternoon.
I'm sorry. Not this week. I'm thinking next month. Right. Uh huh.
Next month. And it's going to be from 12 to 4, which is really nice because the Glenn Beck rallies, I'm just telling you, are like 7 a.m. to, you know, 10 a.m. And, I mean, so you've got the place is packed and everyone has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. These are at the very kind times of noon at 3.
Right.
And then Colbert playing off of Stewart is holding the March to Keep Fear Alive.
At the same time, right?
They're probably going to alternate with each other. And, I mean, they're asking, they already on their shows, they're asking special guests. They asked Sigourney Weaver last week. Jon Stewart said, you know, hey, you want to come to my rally? She said, sure, I'd love to be there.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You think about, like, who they could draw star power-wise, I mean, this could really be, this could be a major A-list. Superstar.
Yeah. Well, and it'd be interesting to see how the media covers it. It really is a weird time when truly Jon Stewart is doing more journalism than a lot of actual news outlets, don't you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, and these, I mean, the comedians, people sort of get frustrated with them when they say, well, they can retreat back into the claim that they're just entertainers. But Jon Stewart doesn't generally do that. He doesn't take that position. And it's not as though Colbert has come out and done that. Since he testified, everyone knew when he was in character and knew when he wasn't. And, you know, I mean, I think that the media will cover these rallies fairly straight in that anywhere that you have 250,000 people, I mean, needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Size does matter to the mainstream media. Christina Wilkie, in the know, gossip reporter columnist for The Hill, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there she goes.
I can tell you how the media is going to cover it. They say, well, these guys aren't serious people like Glenn Beck
is.
Yeah,
like Glenn Beck is. Glenn Beck's not a rodeo clown. Yeah. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Moments from Mondays with McClurg. Edie McClurg, hilarious. Actress extraordinaire. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Chicago on the tax cuts. Hello, John.
Hey, Stephen Mooks, how you doing? Hey, I just wanted to bring up something. We're talking about Kennedy and dropping from 90% down to 70%.
Yes.
This is something Tom Hartman talks about all the time, is when he did that, he closed so many loopholes that effectively it was a tax increase, and therefore that's why tax revenues went up after. The Republicans are always fond of saying that, oh, Kennedy dropped taxes and the revenues went up. Well, that's because he actually raised taxes.
Right. Yeah. By the way, James Inhofe, mm-hmm. who knows nothing about anything.
Well, that's true.
He scoffs at the notion that the super rich are getting richer, despite...
I scoff.
Despite complete evidence that the rich are getting richer. Yes. Mm-hmm. He also scoffs at global warming.
Evidence, schmevidence.
Forbes released its annual list of the 400 wealthiest Americans, topped by Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, blah, blah, blah. Overall, the total worth of the 400 rose to an estimated $1.37 trillion in 2010, up 8% from 2009.
Math has a liberal bias.
That would almost seem to prove that the rich are getting richer in some weird way, wouldn't it? Senator James Inhofe, though, doesn't think the very richest of the rich have made gains. He wants to spend $830 billion over the next decade to extend the Bush tax cuts for the richest 2% of Americans, said that those who want to see tax cuts for the rich expire are fudging the numbers, making everybody think they are middle class and the super rich are getting richer in a continuation of class warfare, he said. Nothing's changed. They try to play the numbers, making everybody think they are middle class and that the super rich are getting richer. And he also rejects claims
fudgy math
that extending the tax cuts automatically would add to the deficit, despite the fact that every economist said it would add to the deficit.
Yeah.
The Forbes list makes clear the super rich are in fact getting richer. At the same time, their effective tax rate has been falling.
Forbes. It's practically Pravda.
All the way to 16.6%, according to the latest data.
It's commie math.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Forbes was founded by a gay guy who dated Elizabeth Taylor for a time. So,
did he have a doll collection?
Oh, what gay guy hasn't dated Elizabeth Taylor? All right, Representative Nancy Pelosi on tax cuts for the middle class.
It's not about the election. It's about the policy, and we're all very strong on that, and members with a vote or without a vote can go home and talk about their commitment to that.
To doing that right after the election. What?
Okay. Have you had it up to here with Democrats?
No.
Come on.
I've had it up to here with their Orrin Hatch.
It was a gutless approach to this. And look, I understand the Democrats. They know this is going to be a tough election for them. And frankly, they've never really had the guts to do what they really believe, unless and they have overwhelming numbers.
Well, you know, that's the problem, is he has a point. This is what we talked about with Rude Pundit earlier today, is that if you can't run on that, Jim, what can you run on?
Yeah.
Tax cuts for the middle class? I mean, that's what's more politically safe?
Yeah.
Orrin Hatch again.
59 of them in the Senate, overwhelming number in the House. They could do just about anything they want to, but they can't get their own side together. And the reason they can't is because there are enough reasonable people in the Democratic Party to say,
please,
hey, this is not the right thing to do.
You mean people in
the conservadems,
red states who are terrified of their own shadow?
Yeah, that is.
How can we make the Republicans happy?
No, that's my point. No, I am not. I haven't had it with the Democratic Party. I've had it with that little handful of conservadems that helps Republicans block everything.
But there's always been not always, but for several years now, this is weird. Insecurity on the part of the Dems. It's like, well, these are our ideas. I hope you like them. You know, just put it out there. You
know, I know.
Do what you believe in.
We keep talking about this new poll showing Americans.
Full speed ahead, damn the torpedoes.
And most people that don't, they said don't like health care. By 2-1, it's because it wasn't liberal enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That government should be doing more is what the polling is saying.
Don't say that. It's so rude.
I mean, look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. 75% of the American people want it repealed, and that we can't get that done. Phil in Gainesville, Florida.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie. I run a foundation that helps migrant farm workers and like to make a comment on the Colbert skit.
Okay.
Personally, I thought it was funny, but I thought it was the wrong audience and the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I don't think it helped the cause.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was saying that Chris and I were talking about this, I'm not a fan of, while I think, what's his name, Sacha Baron Cohen is brilliant, I'm uncomfortable watching that stuff, his, TV show and Borat, and I just, it makes me,
Doogie.
Yeah. There was somebody, one of those hidden camera shows I remember watching, I don't even know which one it was, but literally the audience is, it's like the laugh tracker audience or whatever is going crazy, and the person that was the target literally was crying.
Kick him! That's funny!
Although a good, ball to the crotch is always funny.
Well, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, especially when it's a little kid and his parents got paid
to
humiliate him in front of the entire country.
It's very funny.
I don't think so. I think it's child abuse.
No. When the child hits a ball into the dad's crotch,
it's funny.
That's funny.
Then it's good. Then now we're talking. Okay. by the Orange Pledge, it did actually have orange around the corners, didn't it, from the Boner's spray on tan?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
The Tea Party?
Confused says no.
Not
they
so
don't
much.
They don't care for it.
No, they're a little cool to the pledge.
Yeah.
House Republicans' pledge to America may be rife with Tea Party rhetoric, but judging from the reaction of some key Tea Party members, it has not struck a particularly enthusiastic chord with the movement. Since the pledge's release, reactions have ranged from mild dissatisfaction that the GOP appears attuned to Tea Party concerns to doubt that congressional Republicans will follow through on the policies outlined in the pledge to grumbling that it's stealing the thunder of more aggressive Tea Party-produced document called the Contract from America.
Huh?
Isn't that that? Is that the Newt Gingrich one? That's like the new version of this.
It was the Contract on America.
Yes. One of the Tea Party state coordinators said, "It's a mealy-mouthed sop to the Tea Party movement that is rife with platitudes and little on substance. I have yet to see one person who is wholly impressed with it." Oh, dear. It's war again between the Tea Party and the Republican Party. Tea and then a he.
There was a Tea Party rally in Beverly Hills yesterday.
Really?
Yes, I drove past it going to Pink Taco. I'm like, that's odd. Rich people trying to...
No, we're part of the...
Yeah.
We're part of the rabble. Look at us.
Thurston, I'm not used
Good
to
heaven.
Carrying signs. Can I get Manuel to carry the sign for
exactly.
me?
It was the strangest thing.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How big was it, and what were they protesting exactly? Because
we're a grassroots organization, clearly.
I mean, it wasn't that big. I'd say maybe like 100 or 200 people.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. A smattering.
A smattering.
And what were they protesting exactly?
High taxes, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
Keep your government hands off my housekeeper's welfare.
Lawn.
Yeah.
Yes. Hmm. All right. By the by, Democrats have released a bunch of polls. Internal polling data in recent days aimed at countering the perception the Republicans have a majority within their grasp and numerous Democratic held seats are as good as gone. Yeah, that's part of the problem. It's psychops, right, Jim?
Uh-huh.
They're trying
psych-ops.
To psych out.
Psy-ops.
Psy-ops, pardon me. They're trying to psych people out, voters, into saying, oh, it's already, don't worry, you stay home.
Don't bother voting because it's.
And donors to go, you know, look, there's no point in giving because the Democrats.
Money. It's a waste of your money.
Yeah. Whereas I think I mentioned my favorite poll, having just spoken at a Barbara Boxer event this weekend. Barbara Boxer has pulled out to a 51-43% lead over Carly Fiorina out here in California. Jerry Brown has pulled to a 5-point lead over Meg Whitman, which I'm guessing she's already shoved several subordinates this morning.
Several Asian underlings.
Yes.
Yes.
I spent $120 million my own money. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with the Mondays with McClurg next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, Mama on the Ed Show on Friday, up on the video section there. What? It's Monday, and we, Jim, your brain's on a combination of what?
Red wine and codeine cough syrup.
I'm on a box of white wine and Advil PM, and Chris, mango margaritas, three of them. Thank God someone's here to save the day.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore.
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg, literally star of stage, screen, television, radio, anywhere that you can be seen. You were hilarious on the Bill Maher show on Friday.
Thank you.
What? Now, you had called in to tell us about this.
We did a reenactment of an earlier politically incorrect show.
From the 80s,
yes.
Right. And you,
right.
In which you played yourself. And it was.
Yes.
So it was a.
Here's a little inside for your listeners. I wore an outfit that I actually wore on a politically incorrect show in the 1990s,
wow.
So somewhere in there. Yes, I take things that go out of date, and I take them from the regular closet and put them in the costume closet.
And you, your lines were lines you can't say on a little family radio show. But it was supposed to be explain what the skit was. It was supposed to be Christine O'Donnell saying even more and more ridiculous things.
Yes, and Alex Borstein from Mad TV was just very funny as Christine O'Donnell. They, you know, gave her the hair and the very nice little dress to wear. And so we had Kato Kaelin in a long wig and Kid of Kid and Play, you know, with the high, tight thing, the way high. And so they put that big, you know, tube of hair on him. And I just kind of looked the way I looked.
He looked the same.
And Bill, they were going all around trying to find a wig for him, trying to write a right wig that matched, you know, what he looked like. In the 90s, and he picked up a wig, he turned around and put it on backward, and he said, perfect! And we were on.
That's what, all our hair looked backwards in the 80s.
Yes, it was. It was like, whew, whew, whew.
If you did the big hair the wrong way, it just looked, that's exactly what it looked like, a wig on backwards.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But the funny thing about, we've talked about this before, the Tea Party and Christine O'Donnell, Sarah Palin's of the world, you can't tell the difference between the skit and then the actual clip he played of Christine O'Donnell, practically.
And you have Beaner lately Representative Boehner.
Boehner here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yes.
He was talking about his Republican pledge for America.
Yes, the Orange Pledge.
Yes, but according to him, the American people are just not ready for any real solutions to the enormous problems facing this country.
Oh, we're not.
No, no. It's precisely why the Republicans have not presented any.
Oh, I see.
That's why they have no answer, because
it's
we're
our
not
fault.
Ready for
it's
it.
Our fault. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're just not there.
You're not worthy.
No.
Twist that logic, baby.
We're making him cry. Yeah. He's, so what was I going to say? Oh, so then you saw the actual Christine O'Donnell clip on Bill Maher's show, which is hilarious. Her understanding of science. First we have, you know, mice with fully functioning human brains and now, she thinks that monkeys should be evolving sort of so that
you can
see it.
Yeah, we should see that, you know, they're getting nice haircuts and, you know, wearing
right.
little,
like, you know, the picture in the book of the, you know, the man walking
upright eventually.
She thinks that's like real time. Like you should actually see that in live.
Yeah. Well, maybe she sees it in her dreams. Who knows?
Like David McCallum in the Sixth Finger episode of The Outer Limits.
Now, did you meet her back then in the day?
I actually, John Fugelsang and I were actually on a show with her, but she was so memorable, I had no memory of her at all.
You're just, she's the crazy right winger that's going to say
like,
the crazy stuff.
You know,
stuff.
They were just to balance the show.
Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of star of stage, screen, and whatever, let's get to the stage part.
Oh.
So that we can plug your, before we move on here.
Well, I'm about to open in Love, Loss, and What I Wore, which is a play put together by the Delia and Nora Ephron. Wonderful writers.
Heard of them.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, I was in movies that they wrote, so that was nice. Anyway, they put together these reminiscences of these women about certain clothing and as it affects their memory of a certain event.
Right.
And so we are like five women sitting on the stage, and we are reading to the audience all of these memoirs.
Right.
All these different characters. So.
And where is it, and when might we see it?
It's at the Geffen Playhouse in Westwood here in Los Angeles, and we open, we have previews Wednesday, and we open Thursday night.
Fabulous.
Uh-huh.
Eight shows a week. What is your training regimen? Are you doing some sort of power cleanse or anything? What are you doing?
I'm quivering in fear. I think that's, you know.
That helps you lose weight.
But Saturday and Sunday will be 2 days, and then I'll be crawling in here on Monday morning.
Yes, good. Yay! You're plucky. You know what?
But
you're plucky.
I have Monday then off, so then I can just go home and crash.
You're nothing if not plucky. You really are.
Oh, I'm really getting tired of being plucky for all these years.
Listen, I know this week I'm exhausted. Just this weekend, for whatever reason, it's campaign season. It's something. Yes. I had to fill in for Barbara Boxer, who had food poisoning this weekend. Have you ever, by the way, been on a show when, you know, the main star isn't there, and then you're like, in that role will be, that was the look of abject disappointment on people's faces. Instead of Barbara Boxer, it's
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, and then
Now people were delighted to have you, I'm sure.
I was delighted to be there, and it was in one of those big, you know, Chris, that's why I don't get invited to stuff often, because it was a very fancy person's house. And I'm always afraid I'm going to do something, you know. You're going to do something. You're going to be upset the little towels in the rich person bathroom or the, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Bill Maher, one time there was a party that Arianna Huffington.
I was at Ariana's book party on Friday as well.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, we're just dropping our darn names, aren't
mm-hmm,
we?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just too gorgeous, this home. It was too palatial. It was too big. I could not grok it, you know? And and then I saw her beautiful little children who are growing up in this and thinking, are they going to think that
everyone's house is like this? Yeah, yeah.
The mansion, you know.
Yeah, I always feel like Oliver Twist or something. It's just
Please, I have some more.
I do. I get a Cockney accent for some reason when I go to these things. Anyway, but the point is, I mentioned this before the break. There is good news in polling out here. And do you see Barbara Boxer has pulled ahead?
They're pulling ahead.
Jerry Brown has pulled ahead slightly by 5 points. Barbara Boxer's lead is up to. But you know, it's early, so people shouldn't get complacent either.
No,
you gotta
get
out and vote. You gotta.
Sure. Oh, it's just so scary, though. You know, when someone will not go on the record. and will not show up in public and answer questions. And that's, you know, what Meg Whitman is doing.
Well, and she has spent 120. How many employees do you think she shoved this morning when she got the polling? She spent $120 million of her own money. Mm. And her favorite, her negative just keeps going up. The more people get to know her, the more they're like,
Confused says no.
Yeah, not today.
Yeah, and Carly Fiorina, it's unbelievable. Here's the, can I have my marijuana music, please? Here's the really exciting news. 49% of Californians now say they are inclined to vote yes on the proposed marijuana legalization law, with 42% saying no. So we're going to be totally eating some fits, knocking some dope out here.
Well, they've already got the medical, and, you know, there's certain places that people can go for that. I mean, the people who have cancers that, you know, they're shrinking away, and they have no...
oh, I know. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's
and
ridiculous.
And it helps them to hold their food.
Yeah, I know. Recover. No, I mean, that just seems like one of those issues that is
no-brainer.
Ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. Like, who really wants to not help sick and dying people, you know, however you can?
Please.
All right. We also talked about the polls Democrats have released showing that, you know, because that's the problem. What did I say? Psy-ops. Psy-ops.
Yeah. Psy-ops.
They're trying to do psy-ops on us, the media, by saying, oh, it's all over and it's going to be a bloodbath for Democrats. Don't bother giving money or voting. And Democrats released the big picture case the party's making to an audience that includes members, donors, and voters. The Democrats are in a solid position to defend their hold on Congress with a wall of well-positioned incumbents poised to turn back a Republican electoral tide. I've been saying I don't think it's going to be as bad as the media is ginning it up. What do you think?
I think that everybody should remember Al Gore conceding when people were just lying about the results.
Yeah.
You wait until everybody closes the poll and then you count them.
Not George Bush's cousin
Don't
at Fox News.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Oh,
well, that's...
someone reported somewhere Al Gore is losing. When is he going to concede? Concede. How are you going to concede?
The latest data dump comes after months of allowing Republican polling to go unanswered, and just weeks after, because that was the thing. The media ran with that story that, oh, the Republicans are ahead in the generic, they're ahead in the generic, they're ahead, you know. And, Chris, you make this point all the time. Generics are a bunch of, they're a load of.
They're a bunch of hooey.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're voting for a hypothetical candidate from...
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, I hope people out here in California, for instance, are going, Senator Fiorina? I mean, she's out of step with Californians pretty much on every single issue.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, it's not that cattywampus a year, I don't think.
I enjoyed
that. I think Carly Fiorina's campaign is officially yesterday, is what I'm thinking.
So yesterday.
Mm. A Politico column this week said most of the national press has been uncritically swallowing a steady diet of Republican propaganda. Uh-huh. The race for the House is over. The Republicans have already won. Yada, yada, yada.
Forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that's psyops.
I get to go
convincing people
vote.
That about this liberal media elite.
Yeah.
And so they all go, you know, running like scared rabbits. I'm not liberal. Look at me. Look, I like conservatives. I like your ideas. I don't know what they are, but please don't hurt me.
I am going to stay home. There is an enthusiasm gap. I am told by the media there is an
enthusiasm
gap, and I will stay home. I will stay home.
Enthusiasm.
Democrats, stay home.
I have been told.
Stay home. Must stay home. Must kill the queen. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour. Monday with McClure continues right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Mondays with McClurg. Edie, as one of the premier sketch comedians in the country.
Your plosive really messed your microphone up there when you...
Pardon me.
Yes.
Who began her career at the Groundlings? What did you think of Stephen Colbert's skit that he pulled all of Congress into?
Oh, I loved it. I relished it. It was lovely. I loved the silences.
Yes, there were the long, uncomfortable pauses. Let's review Stephen Colbert Friday, in case you missed it. Hi, Larry.
My name is Stephen Colbert.
and I am an American citizen. It is an honor and a privilege to be here today. Congresswoman Lofgren asked me to share my vast experience spending one day as a migrant farm worker. I am happy to use my celebrity to draw attention to this important, complicated issue, and I certainly hope that my star power can bump this hearing all the way up to C-SPAN 1.
I just love the best part was just the looks on the faces of some of the congresspeople. They just didn't really
John
know what
Conn
to
do. John Conn is particular. I don't get it. What are you doing? I'd prefer if you just submitted it in writing, because I'm very embarrassed.
Hilarious. All right. Oh, by the way, so we were talking about polling before the break about don't get psyoped.
Mm-hmm.
I said it right. I'm trying to say psyoped, and that's not right. No. Correct. But you know what? I think
those are the one-eyed voters, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes, okay. Thank you. But the problem is not to get psyched out either way, because, you know, a lot of the Democrats we were talking about released a bunch of polls showing that things are much more competitive than the media is trying to make you believe. However, here is one warning sign, is the independents who largely voted for Barack Obama. So Pew released their own poll. Independent voters now favor Republicans by nearly the same margins that they went for Obama in 2008 and his party in 2006.
Ooh.
That's really going to be, I think, something to focus on.
The tipping point?
Yeah, but I have to look at these Tea Party crazies and go, are independents really going to go right-wing lunatic fringe in reaction to frustration of Democrats? I hope not. All right. Speaking of breaking news stories, this was big news. A big gay rights news weekend. In a landmark ruling, a federal judge in Washington State has ordered the Air Force to reinstate a reserve flight nurse who was discharged in 2007 under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. U.S. District Court Judge Ronald Layton, who is now on my future husband list. I mean that in a really gay way. Ruled that Margaret Witt, who held the rank of major when she was dismissed, was entitled to be returned, quote, at the earliest possible moment. So, you know, the court's getting way out ahead now, certainly of Congress.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he had dismissed her suit. This is important legally. He had dismissed her suit back in 2007, but the U.S. Court of Appeals had reversed the ruling. The appeals court held that Don't Ask, Don't Tell could only be enforced in cases where the military could show a negative impact on unit cohesion and that such impact could only be averted by discharging the service member involved. I mean, they're basically being forced to justify this discriminatory policy, which you really can't justify.
No.
Legally or any other way. After holding a 6-day bench trial earlier this month, Layton ruled the government had not met that standard. And here we go again. The Obama administration is in an awkward position where they have to defend. The president has said he is for repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but they're forced as the government to defend these ridiculous cases. The judge wrote, there is no evidence that wounded troops care about the sexual orientation of the flight nurse or medical technician tending to their wounds. Good flight nurses are hard to find, as are Arabic translators. So, you know, this is, can you imagine? You have a gaping head wound. You're like, oh, I'm sorry, you're gay? No, I don't.
It says no.
I would prefer not to have that patched up. The ruling, the latest in a string of court victories for gay rights advocates in July. These are the fun facts. Let's review, shall we? In July, a federal court in Boston declared unconstitutional the portion of the Defense of Marriage Act, which denies employee benefits to same-sex spouses of federal employees. In August, a federal judge in California declared unconstitutional that state's ban on same-sex marriage. And earlier this month, another federal judge, of course, in California ruled Don't Ask, Don't Tell itself is unconstitutional. Layton's decision, of course, turns up the heat now on the Obama administration. Likely means appealing the DOMA ruling, the Witt ruling, and the broader Don't Ask is unconstitutional, mounting what amounts to a broad Justice Department effort to save a law that Obama wants wiped from the books, which is despised, of course, by his political supporters. In the awkward defense of Witt's discharge, government lawyers encouraged Layton to consider polls showing generalized concerns about working or living with homosexuals, but the judge said it would not have been proper for him to do that, given the appeals court instruction that he examine the specific circumstances of Witt's specific case. And this is what they're ruling in case after case. A general feeling of ooginess on some people's part is not legal grounds to discriminate against some people.
Yeah, just because you feel icky.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't.
Yeah, that's not
say
admissible.
You can't have a job.
That's not admissible, as they say in a court of law.
The icky factor.
And proving once again that I believe God is a Democrat, right? And when we're in the middle of some big breaking gay rights story, another anti-gay preacher gets caught with another boy. Much like the rent boy scandal broke right in the middle of the Prop 8 trial out here in California. We will tell you, there's a fourth man in the...
How propitious.
It's a mega scandal now for the mega church pastor.
How many does it take to become a
four.
Mega?
Yeah,
four.
Four.
Okay.
That's a mega scandal
okay.
now.
Uh-huh. All right.
29 minutes after the hour.
I
back
know
with
what you did last night.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Warning, I'm going to get a lot more sexually aggressive.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Look, Edie McClurg is pulling out of stuff out of her purse like on Let's Make a Deal.
Echinacea immune support.
Well, thank you, honey.
Your immune support function.
I'm not sick, but thank you. What else you got in there? Let's play What's in Edie McClurg's Purse.
Do you have the USS Forrestal?
I have Gazex.
I don't. You know what? I don't want to need to know why. Okay. Wow.
You have the planet Neptune.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? The people had in their purses and back in Monty Hall's day.
Whoa.
Do you by any chance have a refrigerator freezer in your...
computer?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Chris in Oakland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, did you guys happen to catch yesterday? David Gregory pulled down Mike Pence's pants and spanked him with his own Pledge to America pamphlet.
Oh, I missed that. I just love when Mike Pence gets a...
He even played the thing from Stewart. He made Pence sit through the thing from Daily Show over the weekend talking about how Boehner said exactly the same things in 98 that he said the other day about their new plan. And the look on Pence's face, he's just like this drained, just even more pasty than usual. But what I'm calling for is I want to see if you guys notice this too, because I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet. Because what I've noticed is I think the Democrats, I think I figured out the strategy. They let the crazies go, and let them go, and let them go, and let them run their own din up as loud as they could. Now they let, after they shot their wad, they're hitting back. And this weekend I started to notice this last week, the Democrats are starting to hit back, and I think they're going to hit back harder and harder. Because, you know, it's going to get in, if they started real early, it would get into this tit for tat, and then it would just be, they would just take the level down. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to let them shoot all their crazy stuff off.
Well, it's like this stupid, it's like the stupid orange pledge. It's like, let's see what you got. What do you got? That's all you got? All right.
So I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to just wait till the last minute and then just smack them upside the head with a big old dose of truth.
Yep, I think so. All right, honey.
Figure it out.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't. Seriously, I mean, it's true. Like, the Daily Show, as we were saying, is doing better journalism than most journalism outlets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because the pledge is nothing. It is the same old. They always say it's
verbatim in the case of Boehner.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly. All right. Chris, could you take your organ out for me, please? I'm just saying, right on cue, you remember in the Prop 8 case, one of the only expert witnesses they cited was George Reckers for their anti-gay, blather. And then he got caught with the, as you know, the rent boy.
Oh, mm-hmm. The rent boy.
Yes.
Well, you see,
was
I had
that
a bad
the traveling
back
companion?
And I,
yes. He was the one that they used his science. As the anti-gay science in the Prop 8 trial. And now...
Science!
A fourth young male member of Bishop Eddie Long's mega church is suing the prominent pastor, claiming he long coerced him into a sexual relationship. Now, I was saying, you asked the number before it's a mega scandal. Three boys, you could almost just be clumsy and trip and accidentally have sex with three people of the same sex. But when it's four... Mm. Then you're pretty much gay, I think.
There's some intent involved there, possibly.
Planning could have been involved.
Because sometimes, Edie, I don't know if you are familiar with all the Republican sex scandals, but some particular young Republicans have been caught. They tend to have sex with people of the same sex, but they're not conscious. There's a few stories that are people sleeping, and they woke up to find...
someone in their bed or their trousers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then the excuse is always something ridiculous. Maybe they just fake. Sometimes you trip, and then you're like, hey, what's that in my mouth? Oops. Yes. Okay. But this
can we bring up Sarah Palin?
I guess they opted for a live boy over the dead girl.
Yes, let me just finish this story.
Okay, you finish
that. The lawsuit said... All right, the lawsuit... said Long told Spencer LeGrand, I will be your dad, and invited the 17-year-old to journey to Kenya with him in July. LeGrand said Long gave him a sleeping pill on that trip, and the two engaged in sexual acts. Yeah, there's some sort of ceremony, Jim, did you hear that, that involves taking vows and exchanging jewelry or something that the... He did with some of the boys.
But a sleeping pill, and then they exchanged. But I think that had to be a one-way street.
Yeah, that sounds a little like rape.
Again, unconscious, that's what I'm saying. That's what we could go with that campaign slogan. Democrats, at least we have sex with people that are conscious.
Conscious, yeah.
I was taking a sip of butter.
The lawsuit claims Long convinced LeGrand that engaging in a sexual relationship was a healthy component of his spiritual life.
Oh, a healthy component.
LeGrand now, it's like a part of an everyday diet. It's part of a healthy breakfast.
Yeah, along with your carbos and all of that.
LeGrand, now 22, said the two continued their relationship on a February 2006 trip to South Africa, and after he moved to Atlanta, at Long's encouragement, he said Long also instructed him not to have girlfriends. Because apparently that's not a healthy component of... Anything that does not involve me is not a healthy component of your spiritual life.
Oh.
He has, as you know, the pastor has denied wrongdoing through Twitter. And so if you say it on Twitter, you know it's true.
Oh, yeah.
So good for him.
140 characters.
Did you see, Jim, them interviewing some of the congregants leaving the church yesterday? And one lady's I don't believe him. I'm sorry. I mean, you know.
Some don't smell right.
It has the width of truthiness to it. Edie McClure, what would you like to say about Sarah Palin? You wanted to mention something?
Yes. In a recent confrontation with an Alaskan who was hanging a sign that said, worst governor ever. Sarah Palin asked the woman what her profession was. What is your profession?
Oh, she's a teacher. Yeah, I saw this.
Woman said she was a teacher, and Palin looked at her daughter and her advisor and proceeded to roll her eyes as if in pity for the woman.
Well, and because that you know what that is? It's the special interest eye roll. Oh, a special interest.
One of those
sure, union folk.
Her dad was a teacher.
And Facebook and other websites exploded with criticism. Palin responded by simply denying that she had ever behaved that way. But it's on video.
Yes. Republicans tend to deny things that are on tape. Susan in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. You were talking about the PSYOPs that are coming up, and I wanted to tell you about a push poll that I got a couple days ago. I'm in a kind of an interesting district. Prattville, a Democratic candidate, took over a couple years ago for an actually pretty good guy Republican, Wayne Gilchrist. And that happened because, you know, the right wing put forward a Republican candidate in the primary who was a lunatic. And so the Democrat, you know how that sweeps the Democrat in sometimes. Well, now it's come around again, and the right wing isn't happy with the lunatic that they're running again. They're running this second independent who calls himself a conservative libertarian.
Oy vey.
And yeah, he's really awful. And he put out this push poll where they asked me if it would change my opinion of Prattville, the Democratic incumbent, if he campaigned on having voted for Obamacare. But he didn't vote for Obamacare. So they're just putting this out in hopes that people didn't pay attention.
Wow.
And, you know, the thing is, I was really mad about this because I don't like Prattville. He's a blue dog who is conservative and a jerk. And, you know, now I feel like I have to vote for him because, you know, people are...
Because your option is worse. I know. And meanwhile, you heard us talking, right, Susan, about this new AP poll that's out that show that Americans by 2-1 think the health care reform Long should have done more, that the government should do more, obviously, that it wasn't liberal enough.
Absolutely. And this, and Prattville, you know, this is the first time in my life that I cannot believe I'm missing the Republican, because Wayne Gilchrist before Prattville was actually a kind of a reasonable guy. I mean, he was conservative on some issues, but he would take a brave stand against
You got to look at the whole party, Susan. Even if a vaguely reasonable Republican gets in, he will not be allowed to vote that way because they have been hijacked by the crazy lunatic right fringe, the Republican Party.
Absolutely. That's why he's out, is because they this guy Harris ran against him, who is, he's sort of the pre-Tea Party right-wing lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
And now the new guy, I think his name is Davis, is the Tea Party lunatic. So they're going to probably keep that bill in by dividing up their lunatic.
It is on the Republican side, is pick your degree of lunatic this cycle. But anyway, thanks for calling, Suze.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. All right, for God's sakes, Edie McClurg. We're barely into Celebrity Sack, and I forgot to notice that Lindsay Lohan is out of jail now.
How'd she get out so quick?
She was in and then out on Friday. There's a lot of helicopters, weren't there, Chris?
Yeah.
A lot of helicopters on Friday out here in Hollywood. She went in, we reported she went into jail, right? Friday morning she was out. She was freed from jail Friday night, well short of the nearly month-long stay a judge had intended for her following her failed drug test.
Well, how'd she get out?
She's not entirely free. She'll be required to wear an ankle alcohol monitor and stay away from establishments that primarily sell alcohol.
Well, she did that before, and she just...
Right, and then, but she said someone spilled
something on her. She spilled booze on her ankle bracelet.
By accident.
She was showing it off, and somebody said, oh, no, tripped.
That, much like that mega pastor, someone spilled a young boy on his ankle.
Right.
By accident. How did that boy get down on my ankle?
Just stepped in a vat of young boy.
I promise I will wear my young boy monitoring ankle bracelet and make sure that... But if I should get lost, if my GPS goes awry and I happen to drive by a Boy Scout thing, it's not my fault.
Weep.
I stepped in a troop of Boy Scouts. I don't know
what
how
the
that
hell?
Happened.
Now I'm soaking
slipped.
In it. Friday marked the third time Lohan has been sent to jail in a 3-year-old drunk driving case. She spent 84 minutes in jail in a...
That's got to be
2007.
Well, that'll turn you around, won't it?
And 14 days of a 3-month sentence earlier this summer. Yeah, I don't know what to say about our criminal justice system. First of all, Paris Hilton got caught with coke.
And she's out.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Someone was saying she could have snorted a line off the police report and still apparently got away with it because she's rich. I don't. Yeah. All right. 45.
What a country.
Exactly. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show with Mondays with McClure.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like
Stephanie Miller.
Don't you? Yeah.
Considering the previous conversation.
Yes, considering the conversation during the break.
Tell them what it's about.
Edie McClurg, welcome to my life. I will be endorsing a lubricant.
I hope you're doing it for big bucks.
No, just for the love, for the love.
Okay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Can we do impersonal lubricants for a change? You know, motor oil?
So will I be endorsing all by myself, or will there be someone else involved? No, just me?
Computer says no.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, how exciting. Tomorrow on the big show, comedian Paul Reiser, our Tuesday pal Charlie Pierce, and Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey all join us.
Paul Reiser, very smart guy.
Very funny. All right, so by the by, you know, we were talking about the Republicans' very family values, as you know, including the anti-gay mega preacher that is now involved in the mega scandal with the mega amount of young boys. Oh, boy. I wonder if Fox News will be reporting this, Chris. Carl Paladino, he's the teabag right-wing guy for the governor of New York. This is a very sad story, actually. Carl Paladino, he's running for governor of New York. It was about a year ago, hours after the death of her son in a car crash, that Kathy Paladino's husband told her he's the father of a 10-year-old girl with another woman and that all their children and most of their friends already knew.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
All right. Out here in California, the family values. You know, Mel Gibson, also very religious, always also very family value oriented, as you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's so religious.
A lot of times inebriated. Well, doing all those things.
Yes. Mel Gibson's ex-girlfriend had a $50 million agreement to destroy incriminating tapes against the star of those very tapes that we heard.
Mm.
They both signed the document in May, which the actor agreed to pay the Russian singer the huge sum in returning for her handing over evidence against him so it could be erased. Oops. Something went awry, I guess, with the erasing of the...
Well, maybe she made a copy just in case.
Jennifer Lopez is stopping her ex-husband from auditioning for American Idol. Who did, Jim, who's, it's him, her, and Steven Tyler are the new American Idol.
Which is pretty much the end of Aerosmith, in fact.
Yeah.
Maybe Simon Cowell will take over, Steven. Walk this way.
Ohani, am I saying this right? Ohani Noah, the star's Jennifer Lopez's first husband. He had planned to wait in line and serenade his former wife with one of her own songs, not American Idol.
Ooh.
Oh, dear.
However, J-Lo told the show's producers that she would be uncomfortable, being as he is
an ex.
He has been banned from publishing a tell-all book, and also a judge was ruled that he was not allowed to commercially release footage from the couple's honeymoon. So
What kind of footage are we talking about?
Yes. She obviously, you can see where there might be a little bit of awkwardness in that encounter.
He's too old to audition for American Idol. You can only be up to what?
28.
He's too old to audition, so it would have been moot anyway.
That would have been Stephen Colbert in front of Congress awkward, though, and delightful to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right, Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher were lovey-dovey as ever at the Thursday's Clinton Global Initiative meeting as they spoke about their DNA foundation. That's Demi and Ashton. Isn't that cute?
DNA.
About their mission to end sex trafficking. They are celebrating their fifth wedding anniversary today while stories continue to surface that he cheated on her. That's what all the tabloids are saying. I don't know if it's true.
Well, they were saying that she didn't like him acting like a little kid and doing pranky things.
Well, then she shouldn't marry someone 75 years younger than her, should she? I kid. Get ready to say, oh, no, she didn't. Judge Judy has toppled Oprah for the top daytime slot. Oh, no, she didn't.
And you get a subpoena, and you get a subpoena, and you get a subpoena.
Now, are you looking forward to seeing, you know, all these retrospective things of Oprah this year, the final year?
Yes.
Because you'll see her weight go up and down, her hair get long and short.
Well, I can't wait. We're just, as Jim is sort of implying, we can't wait to see what else she's going to give away because she keeps trying to top herself. Jim, where was the trip? She gave
Australia!
Going there and under.
We think she's going to give away trips to the moon by the end of the...
And you're going to Mars, and you're going to Mars.
Because, as we pointed out, Oprah's audience is very female, and as you probably know,
You're 1/6 of your weight on Earth on Mars.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, on the moon.
Weightlessness, perfect place for chicks to go, and also Mars needs women.
Mars needs women.
Yes. As I think we...
I think we all know that. 1/3 of your weight on Mars, maybe. But 1/6 on the moon.
I'm going to go to Mars.
Could I have some infomercial music, please? Edie McClurg, guess what you have an opportunity to buy? The octuplet mom, Nadia Sudelman, she's having a yard sale.
Oh, good for her.
She is planning to hold a yard sale, an online auction. Selling
How many
items.
Of the babies?
Yeah.
How many
she was not selling any of the children.
She isn't. She has 14.
She's selling items like the bikini she wore on the cover of a tabloid and an autographed nursing bra.
Ew!
Nice.
Jim might buy that.
Is there residue in it?
No!
Just destined.
Octomom, of course, faces foreclosure because she somehow didn't realize that having 14 children without a job might somehow... affect her adversely financially. Some of the items up for sale will be the sofa Octomom was sitting on when she found out she was pregnant with octuplets.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Is there residue?
I want whatever where she was when the water broke. I want that piece of furniture. That's what I want.
That's
a lot of water.
That's residue.
Hand prints of the children and autographed pregnancy panties.
How about that, Jim?
Squeezy, you want those? All right.
Ooh.
Yeah, the place where water broke was Hoover Dam.
Jim, you're a soccer fan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to know if you're man enough to do this. A man from Australia is such a fan of the Collingwood Football Club that he has covered every inch of his body and even his penis with tattoos.
Bonza.
As a tribute to it.
I think that's Australian football, though. It's not soccer.
No, no. Well,
That's, well, it's soccer, isn't it?
Well, they do play soccer.
Is it rugby type of football?
No, Aussie rules football is it's similar to rugby, but...
Justin Whitcomb has dedicated his body to football, the 1970s rock band Kiss, and boxing great Mike Tyson. He has tattoos over every square inch of the body. He said he tattooed a magpie in the number 35 on his manly part is because there was no space left anywhere else, except for his
ouch.
Does it grow?
You don't even have 70? One, and you
just to think of that.
You know, I hesitate to do this, but because it is a really awful, isn't it, ironic file. But, Jim, did you see the owner of Segway passed away this weekend because he rode off a cliff on a...
Segway.
No, really?
That's,
for
is
sure?
Ironic, actually.
Yeah.
A British businessman who bought the Segway company less than a year ago died after riding a Segway off a cliff and into a river near his... It's kind of like when Jim Fix died running. You know, it's, nuts.
Yeah. Mm.
All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Executive... What a note to end on.
Sad.
I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Edie McClurg, who did not kill the Segway guy. So don't take it out on her, just because it's Mondays with McClurg.
She did shoot the deputy, though.
Yes. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.